First Peter, the second chapter. This past week, our Bible reading for the week was the book of First Peter. I think originally it showed through the fourth chapter, but Stanton asked us to read the whole thing so we can look at all of that. As I mentioned, Stanton's out sick, so he's managed to catch a hold of this bug that's going around and getting everybody else. And I'd like to see it stop for everyone. So, again, we've got a number that are out sick. We talked about Stanton. Pete and Margie are out. Margo's trying to not come down with it, but is on her way, it sounds like. Sybil, I think, is still out sick. So let's, Tekla, Paul says Tekla's kind of over it mostly, but he wouldn't let her out in the cold today, which is probably a good thing. So let's continue to keep all those folks in our prayers. We know that it's surely a struggle for everyone. So as we think about the writings of Peter, the thing that we know is Peter tries to encourage the Christians. He wants us to all understand that we are God's people and he cares about us, and that God gives us promises in the things that we do within our life. But I want to look at 1 Peter, the second chapter, starting in verse 4, and we'll start with that for our reading. "And coming to him as to a living stone rejected by men, but choice and precious in the sight of God, you also, as living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. For this is contained in Scripture. Behold, I lay in Zion a choice stone, a precious cornerstone, and he who believes in him shall not be disappointed. This precious value, then, is for you who believe, but for those who disbelieve, the stone which the builders rejected, this became the very cornerstone, and a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. For they stumble because they are disobedient to the word, and to this doom they were also appointed. But you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of him who has called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. For you once were not a people, but now you are the people of God. You had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. Beloved, I urge you as aliens and strangers to abstain from fleshly lusts which wage war against the soul. Keep your behavior excellent among the Gentiles, so that in the thing in which they slander you as evildoers, they may, on account of your good deeds, as they observe them, glorify God in the day of visitation." So as we look at this passage in 1 Peter, Peter explains to us that we're a special people. But I want to first look at, in particular, at verses 11 and 12. He says, "Beloved, I urge you as aliens and strangers to abstain from fleshly lust, which wage war against the soul." He calls us aliens and strangers. You know, I remember in my younger days, one of the first times I read through that, and it kind of got me a little confused. Kind of made me think, what does this mean, we're aliens and strangers? I don't know that that necessarily feels good. I don't know that that's necessarily how I want to think of myself. And I had seen what it says just before that, that we're a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation. But then he comes back and he calls us this alien and stranger. So what does that mean to us? When we think about being an alien and a stranger, oftentimes when we consider that, we think about, well, it's somebody that doesn't belong here. It's somebody that's in a place that they shouldn't be. It's somebody that came into our country illegally. But when we look at the things that God tells us about this, as we look at these passages of Scripture that I've got laid out this morning, I think what you'll find is it's actually a pretty good place to be. It's actually a pretty good situation for us. So turn with me over to John, the 15th chapter, and let's start there. John 15 and verse 19, as Jesus talks to us, he says, "If you were of the world would love its own. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, therefore the world hates you." Now, again, that's kind of one of those things that might leave you wondering, where do I fit? Jesus says, if you're of the world, then the world would love you, but because you're not, they don't like you so much. They look at you with a little bit of disdain. They look at you like you don't belong. They look at you like you don't fit in. And when we think about where Jesus is coming from, well, that's probably true. If we're His, if He's truly selected us, if He's called us out of the world to be His, then we don't fit. Because when we think about the world around us, and as you think about Jesus speaking in this time, in the first century, the world was full of all kinds of ugly stuff. People had forgotten about God. People were more interested in the things that made them feel good, the things that made them proud so they could puff out their chests and boast. And Jesus is saying, you need to be something different than that. And He's speaking to us about that even today. Because as we look around the world outside of His church, outside of His people, what we see is things that are certainly not in accordance with God's will. In fact, Jesus, after He speaks these words in chapter 17 of John, Jesus is praying to God for His people. Jesus is talking to God and says, Father, you need to take care of these. And in particular, in verses 14 through 16, Jesus says in John 17, starting in verse 14, "I have given them Thy word, and the world has hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I do not ask you to take them out of the world, but to keep them from the evil one. They're not of the world, even as I am not of the world." So have you ever thought about these types of things? When Jesus is saying, I've selected you out of the world, and because of that, the world hates you. If you were a part of the world, then they would care about you. And then Jesus here says, I ask you, God, I've selected them to come out of the world, just as I am not a part of the world. Well, you know, most of us, especially when we're young and growing up, we want to be a part of a group. We want to be a part of somebody. We want to fit in. We want to be accepted. But Jesus, as He's speaking first to the people, first to His disciples, and then as He's speaking to God on behalf of His disciples, He's saying, God, I've selected them not to be a part of the group. I've accepted them to do something in which they are not going to be accepted. So what is it that makes us different? What is it that makes us looked down upon by the world? And what I would say is, as we look at historically in this country and indeed around the world, what we see is there are times when we fit in just fine. And the world swings through its pendulum and they go from that conservative group to the liberal group. And what we find is that somewhere in that, people look at God and they trust in God and they want to be like God. And then that pendulum continues to swing and it's like, oh no, I don't fit there anymore. I don't want to do that. That's not important. I'm what's important. It's about me and what makes me happy. And if we're going to be God's chosen people, then we can't be that. We've got to always focus on Him. So when you think about the fact that Jesus, talking to God, says, I have given them your word, and the world has hated them because they're not of the world. He says, I don't ask you to take them out of the world, but to keep them from the evil one. Jesus is praying on our behalf because He knows the struggles that we're going to face. He knows that people are going to look at us and think, oh, those people, they're just a bunch of prudes. They don't understand what it's like in today's world. And what we need to understand is God never changes. So, we live this life that God has chosen for us, that Jesus has chosen for us, and it tells us through Peter that because of this you are aliens and you're strangers. You're not a part of the world around you. You need to be something different. You need to focus on me and do the things that I've asked. And it won't always be popular. And in fact, if we go to Romans, the 12th chapter, and we look at the writings of Paul, Romans 12, starting in verse 1, it says, I urge you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And in verse 2, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. Present yourselves as a holy sacrifice. Not conforming to the world, but being transformed by the Word. What does that say about us? God says, present yourselves. Don't be conforming to the things around you, but transform into something different. When we think about mankind, I think one of the struggles that we live with is that man by nature, our first thing is what makes us feel good. It's our physical desires. And I think what happens is as time passes, it gets to where mankind as a whole gets to where that's more important to them than the other things. But God says, if you're to be my people, He says you need to offer yourselves up, present your body as a living sacrifice, do that which is acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service to worship. Don't be conformed to the world, but transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what the will of God is, which is good and acceptable and perfect. You see, God wants us to do His will. God wants us to walk in His truth. Well, why should we do that? Why don't we just do the things that make us feel good? Why don't we just go out and have a good time and enjoy things and have all the things that the world around us have? Because they seem to be doing okay, right? Well, when I think about that, one of the first things that comes to my mind is God's the Creator. He is the ruler. He's the master of all things. He gave us life. And if He's willing to do those things for us, don't I owe it to Him? Don't I owe Him some form of respect? As we're growing up, as our kids are growing up, as our grandkids are growing up, we talk to them about respect for their elders, talk to them about respect for their parents. But maybe there's more to it than that. If I look at the Word, if I trust in God, If I recognize He is God, He is the Creator, He is Almighty, All-Powerful, All-Knowing, and if I recognize that He has my best interest in mind, regardless of where I might take myself, then maybe I ought to trust the things that He tells me. So we're aliens and we're strangers. We don't fit into this world around us. He tells us that, in fact, we need to not do that. We don't need to conform to the world. We need to stand on His principles and on His teachings and on His word. And we need to think about, how do I get there? If we go back to John, this time in chapter 13, John 13, verses 34 and 35, He says, "A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." You see, if we conform to the thoughts of the world, and when I say that, I remember as a young man or as a kid growing up, and I remember hearing about the silent majority. And once upon a time, I thought, well, that silent majority, maybe that's us. Because we're not combative. We don't go out, we don't protest, and we don't yell at people, and we don't challenge the government. We don't do those types of things. But yet, through our actions, through our behaviors, people look at us and they recognize that we're something different. And Jesus tells us here that certainly one of the things that shows that, and maybe the most important thing, is that when we love one another, then people will recognize us as His. Now, as I look around us and the things that are going on in the world, I think maybe more now than ever, that love that we have for one another, that love that we have for mankind, is the thing that makes us stand out. Because there's so much of the world right now that seems focused on me. It's all about what I want. It's all about what makes me happy. It's all about my anger at everyone else, and I'm going to voice that anger. So when God speaks to us about being His and being different, we need to think about those things. He says, you're not going to fit into the world. As a matter of fact, the world's probably not going to care much for you at times. And certainly we can see that going on in some of the world around us today, because we don't accept the things that man thinks we should accept, then we're different. But we've got to ask ourselves, do I want to fit in, or do I want to be God's people? If you turn over to John 14, we need to ask ourselves, why is it that I want to be different? Why do I want to be this people, this alien and stranger that God talks to us about in Peter, through Peter? John 14, starting in verse 1, it says, "Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwellings. If it were not so, I would have told you, for I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." You see, when we think about Jesus' prayer in John the 17th chapter, he goes to God and he says, "God, I know that I have to leave. And I'm going to leave all of these that you've given to me behind. And I ask you, God, to be with him and protect him and carry him through this. And he tells us earlier, so we were just looking at 13, he says, you, my disciples, go out and let people know you by your love. By your love for one another, by your love for your common man. And then he tells us here, he says, by being mine, here in John 14, he says, I go and make a home for you. Talking to his disciples, talking to the believers, he says, I go to prepare a place for you, and if it were not so, I would have told you, and when the time is right, I'm going to come back to pick you up and bring you here. Isn't that what we all want? Isn't that enough to say, why do I want to be different? Why do I want to do these things God's asked me to do? Because I want to go and share that place with him. I want to go and be in that place that he's prepared for me. I can't even begin to imagine the place that God's prepared. I know what we read about in Revelation. The streets of gold and the gates of pearl and all of these beautiful things. And I think about that and I think, I wonder if that's really what it's going to be like. And I don't know. But you know what makes it special? You know what makes it worth going through the struggles that we have when the world looks down on us? Is that by going to that place that he's prepared for me with Jesus and with the Father, is they are going to be there. We're going to share that place with them. Can you imagine that? That I can be in the direct presence of God? I don't care if it's got streets of gold, because he will be there. That's what I want to experience. You know, if we go over to Matthew, the 12th chapter, one of the things that Jesus tells us at a difficult time for him. In Matthew 12, and starting in verse 46, while he was still speaking to the multitudes, behold, his mother and brothers were standing outside seeking to speak to him. And someone said to him, behold, your mother and your brothers are standing outside seeking to speak to you. But he answered the one who was telling him, and he said, who is my mother and who are my brothers? And stretching out his hands towards the people or towards his disciples, he said, behold, my mother and my brothers, for whoever does the will of my Father who is in heaven, he is my brother and my sister and my mother. Do you see what Jesus has just said? It ties right back to what he's telling us in John 14. He says, I've got to prepare a home for you, and I'm going to come back, and I'm going to receive you, and I'm going to bring you back here because you're family. Do you hear what he said? And stretching out his hand towards his disciples, he said, behold, my mother and my brother, for whoever does the will of my Father who is in heaven, he is my brother and sister and mother. He who does the will of God is family. I love that. So, when we think about the struggles that we have in this life, when we think about the fact that I probably don't fit in with everybody around me, I don't have the same views, I don't have the same thoughts, I don't have the same morals, or lack of, that people around me have, this is why. This is what makes it all worth it. This is what makes it all of value to me. I just had a thought. If you just look at, we're not going to sing it, but if you turn over to number 43, as the deer, and look at what the second verse of that says. This is one of those things that for a long time, we talk about, Stanton and I talk about camp songs, and we like this book because it's got a number of camp songs in it. And when I first learned As the Deer, it didn't have this second verse in it. And somewhere later, I heard the second verse, and I thought, oh, what an awesome thing that is. And if we read it, it says, you're my friend, and you are my brother, even though you're a king. I love you more than any other, so much more than anything. Do you realize that? Jesus has said, you, the disciples, you that do the will of my Father in heaven, you are my mother and my brother and my sister. We are those people. You, God, are my brother, even though you are a king. I share in the same thing that you've got. So, we think about this fact that we're family, that Jesus has gone to prepare a place for us, that he cares about us, and that if we want to do that, we've got to do the will of the Father. And when we read in Ephesians, the second chapter, so think about what we've read in 1 Peter. And we're going to go back to 1 Peter here in just a minute. But think about what we read. He says, you are aliens and strangers. And you still need to do the will of my Father so that we can bring glory to God. And we'll look at that here again in a minute. But if we go to Ephesians, the second chapter, in verse 19, so then you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints, and you are of the household of God, having been built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together is growing in a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together into a dwelling of God in the Spirit. You know, how many of y'all feel like you have to be told things and be shown things multiple times before you get it? Saw several go up. Me included, right? Sometimes we just have to hear it over and over again. And we hear it in different ways from different writers. God working through different writers saying, okay, I'm going to say this again. I'll say it a little different because I know sometimes you need to hear it different. And Paul, in his writing to the church at Ephesus, he says, you are no longer aliens and strangers. But what's he talking about? He's not talking about the world now. He's talking about the household of God. So while Peter says you're aliens and strangers in this world that you live in everything around you, as Jesus in his teachings to the disciples and his prayer to God, he says, I've taken them out of the world, so the world's not going to like them. But then Paul brings it home and he gives us his comfort. You're not aliens and strangers in what matters. But you are of the household of God. You're family. You are his brother and his mother and his sister. And I can't think of a better place to be. He says, we're being built up and fitted together. We're growing in a holy temple in the Lord. And you are being built together into that dwelling of God in the Spirit. That needs to bring us comfort. That needs to bring us hope. That needs to bring us happiness. So now I want to go back to 1 Peter. Back 1 Peter, the second chapter. If we think about that verses 11 and 12, if we start there, it says, "Beloved, I urge you as aliens and strangers to abstain from fleshly lust, which wage war against the soul." We are aliens and strangers in this world around us, and it takes work. We've got to abstain from that evil that lives around us. And it isn't just something that's going on now in our lifetime. It's gone on throughout history. We just finished looking at Jeremiah, and if you go and look at Isaiah, and we're fixing to start Ezekiel, and if you go into Daniel, what you see is throughout time, the same problem has existed with man. That we'll walk with God and we'll be happy as mankind and things are good, but then we start getting selfish. And then it starts becoming about me and I lose focus on God. But we, if we're going to be God's people, if we're going to be God's church, if we're going to be God's family, we've got to continue to look to Him. We've got to abstain from the lust. He goes on in verse 12, he says, "Keep your behavior excellent among the Gentiles." Wow. He says, you need to be well behaved amongst those that are not the Christians. You need to show that you are God's people amongst them. And then he says, so that in the thing in which they slander you as evildoers, they may, on account of your good deeds as they observe them, glorify God in the day of visitation. You need to show that you are God's people so those that are not can see it and then they would glorify God. So I want to take you back just a little before that. So I talked about when I was younger and the first time I read this and it really struck me, aliens and strangers, that doesn't feel so good. You know, when I look at the Word and what God says about it, it really does feel good. It's a great place to be. It's good that we have allowed Him to separate us out of the world so that we may be transformed into His family. But I want you to look at what else He says. Starting in verse 9, He says, "You," talking to the Christians, talking to the believers, "you are a chosen race, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for God's own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who has called you out of the darkness and into His marvelous light. For you once were not a people, but now you are the people of God. You had not received mercy, and now you have received mercy." It's all talking about the same thing. If we want to be God's people, if we want to be a holy nation, a chosen people, a people once that didn't have mercy and now we do, then we have to be aliens and strangers in this world that we live in. We have to walk in the light of God so that we may have fellowship with Him. So as you get ready to go off into a new week, as you get ready to go and deal with the people that you deal with, when you look at the things that are going on in the world around you, and you're asking, man, this just doesn't feel right, then that's where we ought to be. We've got to recognize that we need to be something different. We've got to recognize that we need to let our light shine to the world around us. We've got to recognize that I need to be something different. And maybe, just maybe, I might have an influence on somebody around me. Just maybe I might be able to help somebody else want to see what that's all about. But I need to know with confidence that as I do this, I'm a part of the household of God. And that someday, when that time comes, I'm going to go to see that place that He's prepared for me. So look at yourself, look at your life, ask yourself where you're at. Ask yourself if you're walking in that place that He's prepared, that place that He's designed for us. Ask yourself, am I walking in the light? If you're not, then you need to turn to God. You need to talk to Him. You need to be with Him. If you've got struggles going on in your life, whatever it might be, you need to turn to God and let Him help you. Because that's what He's there for. He cares about us. He loves us. He wants us to be His. So if you have any needs of the church this morning, we ask you to come while we stand and sing.